and turn to the inner fold. There's some verses that we'll be using outside the Gospel of Matthew that are there printed on that sheet also. We've been doing a series of messages called Soaring, helping us to fly like eagles. And the title of this morning's message is Dropping the Heavy Baggage, Worry. Let's ask God's help. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask that as we come to this, your book, the Bible, and to Jesus' very own words, we might hear those words to our heart and we might be helped and changed by them. We pray for his glory. Amen. Have you ever watched those weightlifters at the Olympics? The winner wins because he or she is able to lift some weight that nobody else can. But what I'd like you to do is to think about those who don't win. They position themselves, they begin their lift, and then at some point every ligament, every muscle screams, no more, too much. They just can't get it up. And they let go of that weight just as fast as they can. Every last bit of energy is used to get that weight away from them. They drop that weight like a hot potato. That's what we'd like to be able to do with life baggage that weighs heavily on us. Whilst we carry this heavy baggage, we are not free. We're certainly not able to soar like the eagle. We want to be able to drop our heavy baggage like a weightlifter and never to be able to take it up again. And one of those heavy weights that hold us back is anxiety. In other weeks I'll be looking at, or in the weeks ahead I'll be looking at anger and despair also, but this morning, anxiety. We need to let go of our worry, don't we? The Bible promises peace. Jesus Christ promises peace. And today we need to start digging out what the Bible says about finding that peace and releasing our worry. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave two major clues to overcoming worry. The first major clue in overcoming worry is focus on reality. Focus on reality. Jesus starts his discussion of worry with these words in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. Jesus simply says, do not worry. We are commanded, therefore, by the Lord Jesus Christ himself not to worry. So we better understand how to stop. The Greek word translated there, worry, refers to distracted care. So concerned you are distracted from everything else. That is, worry is thinking about possibilities that are distractions from the reality that is right there before us. Sometimes worry is so bad that it immobilizes us. Worry is what if thoughts. Hop on a plane and fly to the Gambia, West Africa, where Nolan and I lived for 3 years. Travel out to the village of Ndungukebi and take a look. There you'll see some children who are skin and bones or who have the pot belly of protein malnutrition. Even the better fed kids are in rags, dirty clothes with gaping holes. Sometimes people in Ndungukebi would fill your flesh and say, you are rich, because they knew that we were well fed. Even in good years, the time before this year's crop was harvested and after last year's crop had run out was referred to as the hungry season in our village. When you don't know where your next meal is coming from, when you haven't got the clothes to put on your kids for the wet season, you worry about that. Jesus was talking to such a society as that. Their worries, of course, are not our worries, but it is human nature to worry. Though their worries were related to real possibilities, and though our worries are related to real possibilities, we think, Jesus says, first of all, Don't worry. Worry is what if thoughts. What if the hail spoils the crops? What if the wet season is too cold this year, as they might think in Ndungukebi? What if I can't pay the next bill bringing it home to us? What if I don't like the new boss? What if I can't pass that exam? What if that person won't talk to me? What if they won't agree? What if I don't have insurance? When Jesus says, do not worry, he means don't spend your mental energy thinking about the possibilities. Instead, focus your thoughts down on the realities, what is before you. There are two realities that Jesus mentioned for us to focus on. First of all, we are to focus on what we can do. Focus on what you can do. Jesus explained it this way in verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Answer, no one. Point is, worrying doesn't change anything. Don't focus on possibilities you can't deal with. Focus on realities that you can deal with. Now, we're all recovering addicts. You mightn't like me saying that. But we needn't look down our noses at the alcoholic or the drug addict, for we are all a slave to something. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. We are caught by sin and enslaved by sin just as much as any addict or alcoholic. We need the same prayer they need. The prayer is sometimes referred to as the serenity prayer. It goes like this. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Worry usually focuses on what ifs that don't yet exist and for which nothing can be done. Worrying changes nothing, Jesus said, in effect. Can you add 1 inch to your height? Do not worry. Secondly, focus on the immediate. In verse 34, Jesus explained, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And to that we say amen. Just dealing with the realities of today is enough weight for any man to carry. Worrying about the possibilities of tomorrow is enough to break anyone's back. Focus on what you can do. Focus on today. And in summary, focus in on what's before you, not the possibilities that are out there in the shadows. Jesus can tell us, don't worry, because he is in control. He cares about us. He knows our future. But I would be careful about saying to those in your family or those around about us, don't worry, because it might be perceived by them that we don't care. Jesus knows. Jesus cares. We've got some balloons at the back. Some others might go off. Jesus says, don't worry, not even about balloons. The story is told of an old man who raised chickens. Among them was a rooster who occasionally crowed. Early one morning, a disgruntled neighbour called the farmer and complained, that miserable bird of yours keeps me awake all night. I don't understand, came the reply. He hardly ever crows, and if he does, it's only once or twice, certainly not all night. That isn't my problem, retorted the neighbour. It's not how often that he crows that irritates me. What keeps me awake is not knowing when he might crow. Thinking about the possibility of crowing. Many of us are like that man. We worry about the difficulties and the distressing circumstances that could arise tomorrow. Sometimes, of course, they do. But if they do, then the grace of God is available for us to help us through. Why worry? It doesn't change the future. More seriously, I read about Oliver De Vink, severely disabled from birth and not able to do anything for himself for his 32 years of life. Day after day, year after year, his parents fed him every spoon of food that he ate, washed him and changed him, and still maintained a happy home. One day Oliver's brother Christopher asked his father how they managed. He explained they lived a day at a time asking, "Can I feed Oliver today?" And the answer was always, "Yes, today I can do it." Focus on what we can do today. One pastor wrote, "Lord, help me to be living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, trusting that He will make all things right ultimately if I surrender to His will, that I may be reasonably happy, contented with this life, and supremely happy in Him, now and forever. Amen." And another added, "Never attempt to bear more than one kind of trouble at once. Some people bear all three kinds, all the worry they ever had, the things, circumstances of now, and all they ever expect to have." Focuses on what is real and before you right now. All that helps some. But what we have considered so far was not the crucial help that Jesus Christ gave in overcoming worry. What we have considered so far would help anyone, in any religion, anywhere in the world. But the real help that follows can only be experienced by the one who knows God in a vital and personal daily relationship. May I ask, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin? Not sure? Please make sure so that the truth that follows can be real in your life. How do you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior from sin? Well, maybe I need to do a message about that soon, but I'd love to explain that to you if you'd come and chat with me. The essential help for overcoming worry is number two, to focus on God. Focus on the realities, first of all, but especially focus on God, who is your God. In speaking of worry, Jesus says in verse 30, "Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Therefore, according to Jesus, those who worry have little faith, or to put that the other way around, those who have faith in God won't worry. So, in effect, Jesus contrasts faith with worry. Those who worry have distracted care, tossing to and fro like the sea tossed around by the wind. The opposite of worry is rest, confidence, trust in God. The opposite to what if this, what if that, what if, what if, what if, is confidence in God. Faith is to be focused on God, according to verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And if you're going to seek His kingdom, you're going to be seeking Him. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Those who know their God are not going to worry. This is what Jesus really works on in this passage of Scripture. First, Jesus wants His disciples to understand that His Heavenly Father cares about them. This is how He taught that God cares. Verse 25. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And verse 28. "So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So Jesus explains, God cares for the birds. You are more valuable than any bird. Of course God cares for you. God cares for the plants. You're more important than any plant. Of course God cares about you. He cares to clothe you. He cares to feed you. He cares for whatever you are inclined to worry about. He cares. Isn't there security in knowing that God cares about us? If I'm confident that God will care for me always, doesn't that delete the worry? If I can have full confidence in God, won't the worry drop off? Second, God not only cares, God knows what I need. Verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows. If God knows what my needs are, and He cares about what my needs are, then I have nothing to worry about. When I am confident in an all-loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God, then my heart will be at peace, despite the circumstances around me. Jesus here then is only enlarging on the teaching of the Old Testament. In speaking of Israel's future, Isaiah explains in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, you'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. No matter what happens, we can trust God to do right. Who's ever thought are filled with the truth about God is not going to worry about the circumstances. You want to experience perfect peace? Fix your thoughts on God. Or literally, the verse doesn't say perfect peace, it says shalom, shalom, peace, peace. It's an intensification of peace. And we could say peace upon peace. One paraphrase repeats Isaiah 26 and verse 3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. That's a helpful way to put it, whose thoughts are fixed on you. Jesus was talking about thoughts in that Sermon on the Mount, and so was Isaiah. This is absolutely critical. Worry is distracted thinking. Distracted from reality by what might happen, and distracted from the reality of God by what might happen. Worry is a thought process. Now, anxiety includes worry, the thought process, but also the emotions that follow on from those thought processes. Worry is unwanted thoughts. Anxiety is thoughts and the emotions that follow. We need to deal with anxiety, Jesus teaches, by tracking our thoughts and tackling our thoughts. Victory over worry begins with the thoughts. When we start to think, what if, we must deliberately turn to the reality of God who knows and cares for us and fix our thoughts on Him. If the mind begins to wander again, we bring it back to God and the truth about God. When we get our thinking right, knowing that God knows us and cares about us, then the symptoms of anxiety will subside. When our thoughts are fixed on Him, trusting Him, we'll experience peace upon peace. There is another extraordinary passage in Isaiah where the perfect peace, or again it's shalom, shalom, the perfect peace of the godly man is discussed. Isaiah lived amongst wicked people, just as we do. God denounced the wickedness of Isaiah's society, and then at the end of Isaiah 57, Isaiah contrasts, or God contrasts, the wicked with the godly. Listen, Isaiah 57 and verse 15. For thus says the High and Lofty One who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I will always be angry. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him. I create the fruit of the lips. That is, God puts praise on the lips is the meaning there. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him as afar off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. His waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. In summary then, the wicked will not experience peace. But the godly, those who have been healed from their wickedness, can then experience God's perfect peace. So if I have a troubled mind, tossed to and fro like the sea, that is to be acting in life like the wicked, relying only on my own resources. To know God, to be confident in God, and know that you can leave the circumstances with Him, takes all the worry out of life. That's relying on His resources and not my own. Get the thoughts right and your heart will be at peace. James also explains in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let's say that you're driving between Violet Town and Bendigo, as we do each year when we go back to see Nolene's folks. Now, that's a fairly narrow country highway, one lane going east, one lane going west. And let's say a tractor is puttering along that highway between paddocks. And up behind that tractor comes a semi going 100k plus. It's a quiet country road. He just simply keeps going at speed and overtakes the tractor. But we happen to be coming round the corner. So let's see what we have. We have a tractor in one lane. We have a semi at speed in the other lane. There is nowhere to get off, nowhere to pass. So you do some quick mental calculations. And that moment you realize you've got major problems. What happens? The mind goes, oh no, or something worse, kicks the autonomic nervous system into gear. The pupils dilate, the muscles go tense, the heart rate increases, the blood pressure goes up, the adrenal glands pour out adrenaline. You swerve, the semi pulls in with a blare of horns, and you're panning for about 15 minutes afterwards trying to recover from the incident. Adrenaline is a friend in an emergency situation like that, but adrenaline is an enemy as a way of life. When our mind keeps saying emergency when there is none, and that message keeps going and the adrenal glands keep pumping out the adrenaline, and the adrenaline keeps our body revving, ready for the emergency, then we're going to rev ourselves out. We'll literally make ourselves sick in some way. But if we live by Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, you'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We're going to find the adrenaline will settle and we'll experience God's peace. Now, if we don't settle our minds, worry can develop into a range of anxiety disorders. Panic attacks, obsessive thinking, compulsive behavior, anorexia, bulimia, phobias, self-mutilation, and so on. Worry is the root cause of all these. And unbelief, at that point where we're worrying, unbelief is the root cause of worry. Worry says, at that point, God is not enough for me at this time. Worry takes charge from God. Worry tries to hold the reins of life to its own destruction. But the truth is, God is enough for me in this, at this particular time. God is enough always in all situations. God is good always. If I worry, I need the security of truth. I must fill my mind with the fact that God knows my needs and He cares about me far more than anything else in all of His creation. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32 says, Jesus is speaking, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So learn to treasure God. Learn to treasure His word that can give us victory over worry. Learn these verses. I've got some verses that I printed up that I've been giving out during this series. Learn those verses. Verses like these, they're on your sheet. "God will love me always." Romans 8:35 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God?" Nothing in life can do that. God will love me always. This is talking about God's child. Second, "God will give the grace I need always." 2 Corinthians 9:8, "And God is able to make all grace." You might want to circle the alls in this verse. "God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Is there anything left out of that? God will give the grace I need always. 3, "God is with me always." Hebrews 13 and verse 5, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Number 4, "God will meet my genuine need always." Philippians 4:19, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Number 5, "God has a good plan for my life always." Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Get those cards, learn the verses, fill your minds with the truth. Now, you must be saved, but fill your minds with the truth. Track your thoughts, and if you notice what if thoughts occurring, nip that thought in the bud. Turn your thoughts to the goodness and trustworthiness of God, His power and love, and find rest in the truth. If you have an anxiety problem, you'll have to do this many times a day, over and over. And you'll have to keep doing it for many weeks to retrain the mind. Minimum 6 weeks, more likely 12 weeks if you're doing it consistently during that time. But be encouraged. It's a battle that can be won. Philippians 4 and verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Anxiety is the result of responding to the uncertainties of life with a wrong view of God. He can't help me. He can't get me through this situation. Each what if uncertainty must be answered by a deliberate confidence in the truth about God. Every thought. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Isn't anxiety a terrible weight that you just want to drop and be done with? Trusting God to be who He says He is will cause anxiety to drop off like mud from a car at a car wash. Trust God. Let go of your anxiety and soar. Isaiah 40 and verse 31. "But those who wait on the Lord," that's trusting, "those who trust in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, every one of us worries about something at some time. And we confess to you, Lord, that at those times we're thinking about our own resources and our own situation, and we're not thinking about the realities especially not the reality of your presence, your love and care, and your knowledge of our circumstances. Lord, right now, in the quiet of our hearts, we want to put all confidence in you. We want to rest everything in you, that you have a plan for our lives that will bring good and glorify your own wonderful name. And Lord, as we place all that care onto you, we find rest for our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.